Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And I'm Rob W. Schneider. How are you? Sorry.
No.
We're off to a good start. Line.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Rob W. Schneider.
Hello, Rob W. Schneider.
Hello, Kevin David Thomas. How are you?
I'm good. Ready for a little favorite things?
I am ready for some favorite things. Oh, yeah. I am ready. I am prepped. I am ready. I am eager to go.
Favorite things. It really are. They really are.
You know, I know you felt like you were starting to run out of things, but it sounds like you've been rejuvenated.
Well, I've been making more lists lately of things that someone will say something. I'll be like, yes, that's a good favorite thing. I'm sort of, you know, taking favorite things from other people as well sometimes and saying, hey, that's a good favorite thing. I'm going to steal that.
So what you're saying is you're stealing from people. Is
yep.
what you're really telling us.
Saying.
Okay, well, as long as you...
Sharing is caring, Rob.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what?
Are you texting over there or what?
No,
you...
I wanted to pull up some information. I apologize. Kidding. No, I do that all the time, and I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
A few episodes ago, remember how we were making a joke, and we were like, oh, you know... our next favorite thing, because we're running out of things, is going to be Brian Stokes Mitchell's dresser. We'll talk about Brian Stokes Mitchell's dresser, right?
Yes, totally.
So, got an email.
No way.
From a guy named Stephen Epstein. I'm sorry, Stephen, I mispronounced it. He says, hey, I know you were making a joke when you talked about Claude as Brian Stokes Mitchell's dresser, but you could really do a whole interview with his real dresser, Jeffrey Polishuk. He is fabulous.
Jeffrey, we want to talk to you.
How cool is that?
I love that.
How cool is
Jeffrey
that?
If anyone knows how to get to Jeffrey Polishuk, send them our way.
And
I do want to talk. I think a dresser would be phenomenal. Or a wardrobe supervisor.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone who's been around for so long that has seen it all. Because that's a point of view, that dresser, star dresser especially. That's a really cool...
Right?
You know, and a lot of them won't say a lot because it is such a close relationship that they probably won't reveal a lot unless maybe, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, maybe if...
But I think it's cool to see that life, what that life is like.
Oh, and I just dropped my phone.
That's wild, though. I love that someone wrote that.
Thank you. We're all good. We're fine. So thank you, Stephen Epstein, or Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
I so appreciate that. And no offense to Claude, but Claude has been fired. Maybe he can go get a job with Freddie Martinez, because I know Freddie's looking for a new dresser.
Oh, dear God.
For his club act.
Oh, God.
No, Freddie's not coming out. Okay. I was just mentioning that he should be looking for employment.
I thought we were adding more characters. That's
fine. Okay. We're adding more characters. Where are your characters?
I don't know.
You don't do
I'm
any?
An audience member.
But you're an actor.
No.
Yeah.
I am. But I'm better at someone else telling me what to sing and what to act.
Okay.
I'm just thinking
there might be a character busting out of you at some point.
Maybe.
Just like June is busting out
I'll
all over.
To the inspiration to strike me.
Oh, I can't wait, because I bet you when it does, it's going to be brilliant. When you were in rehearsals that required improvisation, are you a pretty good improviser?
In the moment, I think I can get along with it, but I'm definitely less I am more the straight man, I think, when that kind of thing with improv. Like I enjoy it, but I haven't had a lot of experience improving, actually.
Oh, interesting.
No, not much.
Interesting.
But when I used to take scene study class, and we used to do a little bit of improv there, I used to take it at T. Schreiber Studios. and we used to do some stuff there, but no, I've never, like, my wife Sutton, she's like best at improv. She used to do long form improv. She used to do,
oh wow,
like, she used to all of that stuff. And that, when we went to see recently, a good friend of mine, Ben, do a long form improv, an hour long show where they will take a they'll make up their own rom-com movie. And there's certain things that you have to have, like you have like the conflict and you have the certain characters that have to meet in a certain way. And they will do a full on movie in an hour. Improv'd.
Oh my God.
And they ask suggestions from the audience. I'd never seen anything like that before. So no, I've never done anything like that, but whatever. It's fun. The older I get, the more like I'm sort of like, whatever. When I was younger, I used to be way more self-conscious.
Oh, but now you're,
I'm definitely like, whatever, like just do it. Whatever.
Just
who cares?
Do it.
If you look stupid, stupider you look, the funnier it is.
Absolutely. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh my God. That's so cool. I didn't know that.
And how?
I would assume that you have like 90 stock characters all ready to go. And
mm-mm.
I hope there's a headshot of you somewhere where it's black and white broken into four panels where like one of you is dressed as the doctor. And
like these, like,
yes,
totally,
like those 80s headshots.
All the different faces of KDT. Like,
yes.
He's just like, yeah, totally. Just
Kevin the doctor, Kevin the lawyer.
Like with my like sweater tied around my neck.
Kevin then, at like, the country club.
Yeah.
And then like one like where you look like a homeless person just to show. Just to show your range. That's actually, that's one thing I miss.
I've seen those before.
I'm obsessed with them. So if anybody knows where I can get my hands on some old...
You guys know what we're talking about, right? Where there's four different panels and it's four different headshots, but they're like costumed. It's like when you have like a photo booth and you bring all that crap and you're like, wear this stuff in the photo booth. Do you know what I mean?
It is exactly
like
that.
Feathered boa, top hat, you know?
It's exactly
monocle.
The fuck is wrong with people? My God.
I love it.
But that's, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I want to see if I can get my hands on this. Have you ever seen a book called Holy Headshot?
No.
It's a book of the worst headshots and resumes ever collected by casting directors. Mm. The actors who are appearing in the book have all signed off on it. So it's not like they're being made fun of. They all receive financial compensation. But the book is pretty genius. It's called Holy Headshot. And I think you'll see some pretty good examples of headshots and resumes
thing,
in there,
actually,
right?
Yeah.
My favorite headshots. That'll be our next one, which will be great for a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, this one looks really great.
Oh my God,
wow,
this is so funny.
This one looks. It's great.
The audience really just sitting there crying.
Everyone's like, nah,
I can't see anything.
On the ensemblist.
I can't see. Oh my gosh.
I can't see.
Myrtle, once again. There's a podcast going on. They're describing things. I can't see them. What's the point? That's always fascinating to me. Like Charlie McCarthy, the ventriloquist, you know, Edgar Bergen and his puppet Charlie McCarthy, they were a huge radio sensation. How do you know the guy wasn't moving his lips?
Right.
Like, how do you know?
That's the best way to do ventriloquism because no one's seeing you. So you can just
do it
like,
on the radio.
Hey, Dolly. Yeah, what's up? You know, you don't even have to like,
oh
worry
my God,
about
he's so
help.
Good. He's so good.
Man.
Boy, that ventriloquist is great. I'm sure there was an audience or something. I don't know, but I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always amazed with like generations like that. I'm wondering what people are going to look back at that we're doing 50 years from now and be like, how did they not realize?
Podcasts, Rob. 10 years from now, everyone's going to be like, remember that phase where everyone just talked?
Yeah, these computers, they could record people's voices. So everybody thought that they had something to say.
They never knew if anyone was listening, so
they couldn't tell if anybody was listening. They would just talk
about really like, specific things, too.
Like crazy people.
Like show tunes from 1950. Ugh.
Who would want to listen to that?
God.
Honey, download me a pizza. Because I hope we're at that point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
We'll be at our rockers in the actor's home. I remember when.
Rob, is it time to record our podcasts again?
Or just give us ice cream cones that we'll talk into. Hope we won't notice.
I'm Kevin David Thomas.
Our guest this week is 90-year-old Sidney Lucas.
You always hit the Sidney Lucas. Have you seen Robbie? Do you know Robbie Rozelle?
I love Robbie Rozelle.
Did you see him post? Because he's going to have this cabaret at 54 Below, but he's posting these album covers and old pictures of him, and he
yes.
says that he looks like Sidney Lucas.
He put up
these pictures.
We'll show the photo. It's Robbie, who's this great graphic designer, by the way.
He does lots of cast albums. God, and a great director in his own right.
Yes,
he directs.
Oh my God, he's so brilliant. But you're right, he's doing this cabaret. We're going to go see it, and he's taking like photo, like the posters of Chess, the posters of Carrie, and like reworking them. But you're right, there's a photo of him when he was a child next to a photo of Sidney Lucas
from Fun Home.
And you're like, yeah, I can see, I see the doppelganger.
Oh God, it's so funny. I'll throw
you, who's the one? Ian Loves Theater.
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
the other? I'll start using him.
That's a good one.
I'm guest this little, week yeah. to tell us about the new season.
The ripe age of 85.
Ian Loves Theater. Still wearing the suit and bow tie.
Oh God, that's good.
That's really what we want. You know what else is good? Some favorite things.
All right, then.
Who wants to go first?
I have a person.
I have a show. And then we came to a stalemate.
I'll go first. So my guy, you know my guy because I've talked about him before. And we've actually talked about trying to get him on the podcast, but I have a little bit of a hard time trying to find him. So actors of a certain generation, you know, a lot of them aren't on Facebook, and it's hard. It's hard to find them. There's another actress I'm going to talk about in another podcast that, same thing. I know she's alive. I just don't know how to get to them. This is, he played opposite Ethel Merman twice.
Oh,
you know, this is my
Russell.
Favorite. Russell Knipe.
Yeah.
Russell Knipe. I don't know if anyone, I hope some of you out there are like, oh, Russell Knipe, of course. I love Russell. He was this silky tenor. And you would know him, friends, from, he played opposite Ethel in Call Me Madam. And you know that famous, that what's it called, where you didactyl, you know, where
the German term is Kotelett.
Shit, Rob. God. Okay. Yavol. All right. What's it in Italian? What's it in Swahili?
I don't even know if that's the German. The term that is ascribed to what you are speaking of is usually called in music a Kotelett.
Yavol, Herr Schreiber. I'm impressed.
This is the only thing I know about music.
Okay. Well, so like I hear singing and there's no one there.
You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising that you're very strange but nice. At this point in history books, they understand why the podcasts were taken off of the air. Right.
Russell Knipe sang that little chestnut with Ethel, and then in 1970, David Merrick put him and Ethel back together again for Hello Dolly when she replaced as one of the last things she did on stage.
He was Horst Vandegelder, or he was Cornelius.
No, he was Cornelius.
Oh, that would make
sense.
So
he was born in 1924. So this he would have, you know, to carry the one. I mean, like he would have been 30. He was a little older Cornelius, I think. He was also in Carousel Brigadoon revivals, and of course he was in my favorite, Goldilocks, which was a favorite thing way back when, probably 50 favorite things ago. Unfortunately, he didn't record a lot of projects. He only recorded a couple of those shows, Goldilocks being one of them, and Call Me Madam. Interestingly enough, I did not realize he won Tony Awards for both those shows. You know? He was known, but I don't want to say he was the household name that I would like him to have been. I can't attest to his acting. I don't know what his acting was like, but I know that as a singer, it was as if Manny Patinkin lightened it up and never switched head voice to chest voice, but just kept it one even voice. That's what the tone is to me. It's kind of like when Manny Patinkin sings up high, that like, oh, Russell Knipe had that all the way down his range, and it was very smooth. And I just think no one really sang like him, and I really dig it.
I'm trying to think. I know he did some film and television work.
He did do some. I don't know. I didn't write down as much of that.
This is such a stupid question. Do you know if he retired or he?
It says he was active until the year 1991. There was a clip from like the early aughts, and I have yet to watch it. It's a half-hour interview where he's on someone's show, and maybe it was just posted 10 years ago, and it was really from like the 90s. I need to watch that to see, you know.
It's not Skippy Lowe, is it?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
But and if anyone out there has any connection or any way of finding out, and I've even like looked up the wedding announcement of his son from like 20 years ago, and I thought about finding his son on Facebook and being like, hey, it's not creepy or anything, but how's your dad? You know, and can we talk to him for a podcast? I mean, I think that would be fun. And if anyone out there has some connection to Russell Knipe, you let us know. Will you Facebook me or message me somehow?
And also, we've mentioned this before. We'll mention it again. You know, we love when you throw suggestions of people that you'd like to hear on the podcast show up. And if you've got a connection with some of these people, please feel free to share. You know, we were very lucky because that's how we got Larry Grossman. Yeah. Was a listener reached out and said that they were working with him and they got us in touch with Larry. So if you have a connection with Russell or anybody along those lines, please, please, please send them our way, because we would love to sit down and talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, great, Kevin. Really good.
Yeah, I discovered him when I fell in love with Goldilocks. And then, I just think he's, I love finding these great singers that maybe, you know, deserve to be talked about.
I think that's fantastic. So we're celebrating Russell Knipe
today. Good
old Russell. Okay, great. Love it. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I love that. That makes me so happy.
What is your favorite thing?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Rob? Well, now I'm starting to think it should be Russell Knipe, because I'm just thinking in my head about what a great performer he was, and I can't get that out of my mind. Mine is a musical.
I like this.
From the early 1960s.
Ooh, good year.
It is a musical that
good era.
I would love to see, especially in today's current climate, come back, because I think it would be a nice little refresher. A nice little divertissement from today's world. Because it deals with the government. It deals specifically with the executive branch of our government.
Is it Mr. President?
It is Mr. President.
I love it.
So
tie it in with Anita Gillette.
Oh, tie it in with good old Anita Gillette. So, you know, like we say on this podcast, we don't espouse one political view or another, but I think it's the news is
but
a little,
we do like the arts.
We do like
and supporting them and yeah, the funding. So, I mean, if I'm going to draw a line in the sand,
I think that's the line we will all.
I'm always going to say I'm going to support the arts.
Yes, I think the arts are incredibly important. We don't want to get into. We're hoping this podcast offers a little bit of escapism for you.
Yes.
But yes, my God, please somebody support the arts. I don't really want to get into it right now. I majored in political science in undergrad. I'm going to start babbling, and I'll need to shut up about it. Yes,
I did not know and or forgot that, Rob.
Yeah, I did poli sci in undergrad.
Holy crap! Had no, I totally. Just forgot.
I did poli sci. Yeah, that was my major.
Because you always are so connected politically, but you don't espouse it to everybody all the time. Like where you go on, like take my wife for example. You know, like you, everyone knows like what Sutton believes. Like she's very proud and puts it out there, and I love her for that. But I also appreciate, you know, like you. I'm always you always have seen everything, you've heard everything, you've read everything. Not and that's I'm not talking about just musicals. I mean politically.
Oh,
well,
geez,
you really are. You really you love politics, even though you don't espouse it from this microphone or from anywhere else.
Really. I don't know why.
And that's not a criticism. I admire it and I respect it, but I'm always like, I'm sometimes surprised and forget that, of course, you're a poli-sci major because you're always up to date with everything that's going on. And you know the details.
I try to be. I just try to be because I also think it's really important for our business to understand what's happening in the world because right. What's happening in the world is going to then trigger what's going to happen, the artistic That's response right. to it. So I think you're foolish if you're not looking at the newspaper every day or you're not watching the news for a little bit, regardless of where your sources come from. Although I have very specific opinions on that as well that I will not go into right now. Because what you're seeing is going to reflect what's happening in the artistic community.
Yeah.
There's no way that those two things are separate. And we've seen that all throughout musical theater history. In fact, when I teach my musical theater history classes, whatever we're talking about that day, I always start off with a 15-minute discussion of what's happening in the government at that time so you understand where these...
Context.
I mean, I don't think you can teach cabaret or hair without looking at the Civil Rights Act of 1964, without looking at Vietnam. Right. I think it's kind of ridiculous to even attempt that. Or Company without looking at the sexual revolution that's happening outside. So anyway, I'm getting off topic. I think that's very important. So anyway, the reason that I chose Mr. President was because I think you see on the news all the time that the current president and his family are all over the news. And
they are sometimes, aren't they?
Aren't they? They like to show up every once in a while, you know. He's such a humble man. And I was looking for something to escape with. We interviewed the wonderful Anita Gillette.
That was a fantastic interview.
Who I wish you all could have seen her. I wish we videotaped that one.
I do too.
Because she literally went from sitting on her sofa to standing up and acting things out as if it were her club act or as if she were reliving the memory of what she was discussing with us.
In such an authentic way too. It wasn't like performance at all.
No.
You know, like she's got these stock stories. No, she would get excited about stuff and she was just so gracious.
She was really
lovely.
Gracious.
Oh, God.
I first encountered Anita when we were doing our Save the Colonial concert
for
54
ago.
Below. Yeah, because I'm sure if you all remember, the Colonial was going to go away in Boston, and thank God it didn't. And I think Knockwood, our show, had a little something to do with that, if I understand correctly. Yes. So kudos to Jen Tepper for allowing us to do that. But anyway, she sang a song called The Secret Service. And she said, I sang this song originally in the show, Mr. President. And she sang the song. The song is very funny. And I'm like, I know nothing about this show.
Right.
I just know that
Berlin.
I just know there's like a silver poster of it.
Yeah.
With like the White House. And I'm like, okay, so let me investigate the show. So like you were saying, it's the last score for a musical written by?
Mr. Irving Berlin.
The great, great, great Irving Berlin.
Or Mr. B, as Mr. Anita called him. Because they were good friends, you know, after that.
Just calls him. Can you imagine calling Mr. B? Mr. B. Yeah. So Mr. President is a musical from 1962, and it deals with the story of... Oh, sorry, Irving Berlin wrote it, but Lindsay and Krause wrote the book, also Sound of Music, Fame, and lots of other stuff. And it deals with President Stephen Henderson. And Act One is about his last term in office. And then Act Two is him in post-presidential life and missing the spotlight of politics. His wife is played by Nanette Febre, who's also still alive. And if anyone has access to Nanette Febre,
she is.
Yeah, I know she's living in L.A.
Gosh, I love
her. Who's a brilliant, brilliant actress. I mean, high button shoes, and she did so much television and stuff. Yeah. Really love her. She plays as first lady, and Anita Gillette is their daughter, who is boy crazy.
Yeah.
Who is boy crazy? And the whole song, The Secret Service, is The Secret Service makes me nervous because every time she goes out with a guy, they're always looming around, scaring the guy off. So she just wants to make out and have some fun, but the security always shows up. The big review from the critics in Boston, and Anita tells this story, is that it was corny. That it was such a corny musical.
Right.
And it felt so behind.
And what year was this again?
1962.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, think about
things
what you're
changing.
You're having Forum, you're having How to Succeed, you're having Oliver's on the way, you have Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah.
So it feels very much like a corny traditional musical. But that doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that it's a different style and a different substance.
Totally.
So another song that I think is a really great song for women that I think you should do it's so brilliant. It's called They Love Me, and it's Nanette Fabre as the first lady traveling across the world and how people respond to her in different countries.
Nice.
And the number is hysterical. And if I understand correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, she actually showed up on a camel at one point.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, and even though it was a flop, and people will say it's a flop, it did get to run for a year because President Kennedy and his wife saw it when it was trying out in D.C.
Yeah.
So Mr. President actually got to go see
Mr. President.
And there was a rocking chair on stage, which is something that John Kennedy used to use a lot himself. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice little like homage. It would be like if, you know, the actor playing Donald Trump showed up dressed like an Oompa Loompa, they'd be like, oh my God, they're playing homage.
Well, maybe he's going to make an appearance in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That would be great.
Didn't that be nice?
You know, he turned down going to see Come From Away. Jared Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, went to go see Come From Away, and he invited Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said, nope, not going to go.
That's crazy.
I am just surprised that an individual who his whole life has been made by the arts and television wants to cut funding, but that's okay. That's okay. You know what petitions to sign, I don't need to tell you, but it did win one Tony Award.
For?
I'll tell you who won the Tony, and you tell me what the category was, all right?
Okay.
So, Mr. President won one Tony in 1962. That Tony went to the great Solly Pernick. Solly Pernick won the Tony Award for Mr. President in 1962. In which category did he win?
Best stagehand.
You're so brilliant.
That name. Come on.
So we talked about this on our last Tony show, but there were some categories that had gone away.
Right.
And one of them was best stage technician. And this guy, Solly Pernick.
Good old Solly.
Won it. I don't even know what Solly
did. If anyone
did.
Knows where Solly is today, we'd love to talk to him. That's the theme of this episode. So
it's
if you're out there.
It's like an unsolved mystery.
It is.
If you or anyone you know know where Solly Pernick is, contact my office. Update. My wife Dolores has told me that Solly tried to call. I was not at home. I was on the golf course. If you or anyone you know why Dolores is always nagging me about going to the golf course, please call Unsolved Mysteries.
Is that your Robert Stack, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh.
Couldn't tell?
Keep workshopping it.
Keep workshopping it. That's the one I'm the proudest of.
No.
Really?
That's good.
I'll get there. It's those cadences that you just have to remind yourself of. He goes up, and then he goes down. If you or anyone you know...
Oh, yeah. There we go.
...can work on an impression of Robert Stack...
That's better.
...please call me or my wife, Dolores. She's busting my balls again. Why didn't I do the dishes? Because I'm trying to keep a roof over our head. Do you know why Robert Stack hosts Unsolved Mysteries? They offered it to three other people, and all of their prices were too high.
Really?
And he was the one who came in the lowest.
Where do you get this information? I swear to God, Rob, I could drop any name or any show or anything. You would have this random tidbit of information. You could be making it up on the spot, and I just take it for fact.
You know he was fired from Lacage?
See? There it is again. That I have actually heard. I think.
Arthur Lawrence tells that story in his book, that they hired him to replace at some point, and he was horrible. And Arthur Lawrence was like, we're going to let you go. And
we're going to take Leroy Reams instead.
Apparently Robert Stack was like, okay. They said he was like this really nice guy. Aww. And I was like, okay, it happens.
Wow. He's like, whatever.
If you or anyone you know how I can break Arthur Lawrence's dancing legs, please... contact Dolores. Update. The reason Hollywood has not been calling is because Dolores is yapping away on the phone with her sister, talking about what a horrible provider I am. Update. I'm going to throw myself out the window. If you or anyone you know knows how to wind up a joke, please call Rob Schneider. So anyway, mine is...
Thank you, Rob.
A really fun musical, 1962. It's called Mr. President. Like I said, it's won Tony for Solly Pernick.
Thank you, Solly.
For best stage technician. I'm wondering what he did that made it so...
Well, there must have been something really cool that happened in that, you know?
Yeah.
Although stage technicians, after talking to Ken Billington, we do realize that they actually... You know, they do... I mean, they do so much, and having seen it firsthand, I mean, they But years ago... It was way more integral, like the lighting design, you know, like the lighting board had to have three operators to move all the panel. I mean, there was just, things were more automated. They had to do winches. And I mean, there was just a lot more physical, technical skills.
Very quickly.
Yes, sir.
Solly Pernick was a prop designer.
Aha!
And I'm looking at this right now. There's a great article about him in the New York Times from 1979.
See, you did your research today.
The last paragraph says he is helping to fool people with his stage props the same way he began in 1914 in the Bronx in his debut with the Cecil Spooner Stock Company.
Oh, man, I wish we could talk to him still.
Right? Oh, my gosh. So he was a prop guy. I wonder what the props... What the props were.
He must have been well into his 60s or 50s at this point.
You know what, guys? I'm not seeing any death year listed with him.
Oh, well, but when was he born? I mean,
assume that he has to have passed. Because I'm assuming if he started in 1940, let's say he got...
40,
I
think
he said 14. No, I did 1914. Let's say he got started in 1914.
Well, there's no way.
There's no way.
There's absolutely no
there's
way.
No way. But
too bad.
Oh my God, I'm looking at all these great articles.
That's really cool.
Oh, okay. So this article is from 1986 and it says he's now 87 years old.
And that was 86?
Yeah. So yeah. I'm assuming he's not with us anymore.
No, that would be.
But I kind of like our optimism. He made prompts for the Star Trek movie? Sorry.
Maybe he's got a son.
No, this is him. The Star Trek movies from the 70s.
Oh,
because it sounds like he was working until the day the guy died.
Wow!
Holy crap!
Oh,
wow!
We'll have to explore a little more, but Solly.
All right, Solly Pernick for the win. So sorry about that.
Diversion.
I literally just got stuck down the rabbit hole while on the air. Like you guys just all disappeared for me for a second.
It was just his own little world.
Just gonna check my email, yep. See what's going on. Solly Pernick. Tony Award winner for Mr. Stuff. President and the great actor
Russell Knight.
All right, guys,
check it out.
You've got your work to do. Bye.
Bye, Ray.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.